Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Okay, I'd like to read from the Anguttara Book of Threes, Sutta 15. Pachetana. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Varanasi in the deer park at Isipatana. There the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhus. Bhikkhus, Venerable Sir, those bhikkhus replied. The Blessed One said this, Bhikkhus, in the past there was a king named Pachetana. Then King Pachetana addressed a chariot maker. Friend chariot maker, 6 months from now, there will be a battle. Can you make me a new pair of wheels? I can, Lord, the chariot maker replied. After 6 months, less 6 days, the chariot maker had finished one wheel. King Pachetana then addressed the chariot maker. 6 days from now, there will be a battle. Is the new pair of wheels finished? The chariot maker replied, In the past 6 months, less 6 days, Lord, I have finished one wheel. But friend chariot maker, can you finish a second wheel for me in the next 6 days? I can, Lord, the chariot maker replied. Then over the next 6 days, the chariot maker finished the second wheel. He brought the new pair of wheels to King Pachetana and said, This is the new pair of wheels that I have made for you, Lord. What is the difference, friend chariot maker, between the wheel that took 6 months less 6 days to complete and the one that took 6 days to complete? I do not see any difference between them. There is a difference, Lord. Observe the difference. Then the chariot maker rolled the wheel that took 6 days to finish. It rolled as far as the impetus carried it, and then it wobbled and fell to the ground. But the wheel that took 6 months less 6 days to finish rolled as far as the impetus carried it and then stood still as if fixed on an axle. So it just stood up straight, didn't fall over. Okay? The king asked, Why is it, friend chariot maker, that the wheel that took 6 days to finish rolled as far as the impetus carried it and then wobbled and fell to the ground, while the wheel that took 6 months less 6 days to finish rolled as far as the impetus carried it and then stood still as if fixed on an axle? The chariot maker replied, The wheel that took 6 days to finish, Lord, has a rim that is crooked, faulty, and defective, spokes that are crooked, faulty, and defective, and a nave, so kind of like a navel, like it's like a circle in the middle, that is crooked, faulty, and defective. For this reason, it rolled as far as the impetus carried it, and then it wobbled and fell to the ground. But the wheel that took 6 months less 6 days to finish has a rim without crookedness, faults, and defects. It has spokes without crookedness, faults, and defects. And it has a nave that is without crookedness, faults, and defects. For this reason, it rolled as far as the impetus carried it, and then stood still as if fixed on an axle. It may be, bhikkhus, that you think... On that occasion, the chariot maker was someone else. But you should not think in such a way. On that occasion, I myself was the chariot maker. Then I was skilled in crookedness, faults, and defects in wood. But now I am an arahant, the perfectly enlightened one. One, skilled in crookedness, faults, and defects of the body. Two, skilled in crookedness, faults, and defects of speech. And three, skilled in crookedness, faults, and defects of mind. Any bhikkhu or bhikkhuni who has not abandoned crookedness, faults, and defects of the body, speech, and mind has fallen down from this dhamma and discipline, just as the wheel that was finished in 6 days fell to the ground. Any bhikkhu or bhikkhuni who has abandoned crookedness, faults, and defects of the body, speech, and mind is established in this dhamma and discipline, just as the wheel that was finished in 6 months, less 6 days, remained standing. Therefore, bhikkhus, you should train yourselves thus. We will abandon crookedness, faults, and defects of the body. We will abandon crookedness, faults, and defects of speech. We will abandon crookedness, faults, and defects of the mind. It is in this way that you should train yourself. Okay, this is a very nice sutta. I like this analogy about one wheel. They both look the same, but then when you test them for their integrity, then there's a difference. I feel this is kind of like a life lesson that is worth learning. Oftentimes when you meet people for the first time, they're on their best behavior. And then over time, when you see their behavior, maybe then you see some mistakes they make, or maybe there's even something worse that comes out, you know, but it takes time. It takes time. And in the same way, when we try to develop ourselves spiritually, that too can take time. Just like this one wheel took a long time, the one that stayed standing up straight. And there's another analogy the Buddha uses as well for spiritual development. He compares it to how a skilled carpenter has a hammer. And every day he uses the hammer, the handle of the hammer is slowly wearing out, the wooden handle. And it's not obvious how much that handle has worn out. But after a few years, several years, one day the handle just falls right off. It's completely worn out and used up. And it's not obvious until that time that it is wearing out. You can't really tell much of a difference day to day or week to week. It's only in a long-term way does that handle wear out and finally just fall right off. So spiritual practice can be like this too. It might take a long time. And you can't really see much progress day to day. You can't see much change, so it might feel frustrating. But we are encouraged to trust that over time, our efforts will gradually build up towards Nibbana. What I like in this sutta is how this chariot maker, he had a neat test he could do on the two wheels. He could roll the two wheels, and one fell over, one stood up. And it really begs the question, ooh, is there some cool test we can do to people to test their character? And I want to share a little test that I heard about. This isn't really Buddhism, but it provides an example just to think over. And I don't claim that this is like the best test in the world. It's just a test. It is a test. One of my interests about trying to develop better action by body, speech, and deeds. Sometimes I take a look at what the world of psychology has to say, because they also look at this. And they've come up with a little test. And this is a test, at least there's one pretty prominent psychologist who endorses this on YouTube. This is a test to see if somebody's a narcissist. What you do, they call this the smiling no test. The smiling no test. So when somebody asks you to do something or demands it, if you're feeling brave, you got to be brave to do this, okay? Maybe don't do this right away. Think it over, all right? This is a little bit risky. But when they make a request of you or a demand, smile at them and say no. And if that person immediately gets angry and upset that you dared to say no to them, and that response is instant and harsh, and they are completely not cool that you said no, like, and it's an emotional, like the emotion like bursts and it's nasty. They are very upset right now. That's a great test that yes, they are a narcissist. That should concern you. What we would hope for is the emotional maturity. You know, maybe anger might arise when people don't kind of do what we want. But can we like contain it? Can we like, you know, just kind of keep our mouths shut for a little bit and, you know, don't let it out right away. And we're probably going to feel some unpleasant emotion or unpleasant feeling, maybe like a burning or a heat or there might be something unpleasant. That's normal. That's human. that's even expected, okay? Because it's embarrassing. Somebody like kind of insulted us by saying no. But if we have maturity, we have emotional maturity and even mindfulness. The Buddha teaches this thousands of times all over the suttas, to have this mindfulness of body and to not utter angry speech, harsh speech, especially in a responsive way, like fast, a fast response, like, you know, that is very un-Buddhist. Whoever does that, they've got some work for sure. So ideally, when that reaction arises in us, we can just not say anything. Maybe we need some time to cool down. Maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe a whole day to cool down. And then maybe we can come back to that person. Okay, well, I asked you to do this and you said no. Why? Or like, I felt very kind of offended by that or whatever. But hopefully the anger has simmered down and then it can be talked about. So that's skillful emotional self-regulation. So that's the smiling no test. That's the smiling no test. I just thought I'd mention that. That's one of the biggest lessons I've had to learn as a Buddhist monk is, like, if you ever ordain as a Buddhist monk, prepare for some serious practice around not getting your way, okay? Especially when you're a junior monk. Every time you think you have some good idea and you think, well, obviously we should do it this way or that way, right? If you state that opinion, it's about 100% likely, no, that won't be what the leader wants to do, if only to teach you a lesson. So there's plenty of opportunities to feel that unpleasant feeling of like, like, isn't it obvious that we should do it this way? Or I'm not wrong. Like, I know I'm right. This is just common sense. Everybody knows this. You know, you got this internal little storm. But no, just contain it. Just contain it. Just keep cool. There's tons of opportunity for this when you ordain. And you know what? Over time, it is a good thing. This is the stuff of emotional regulation. This is good. This is like applying the mindfulness. And if we can contain any angry emotions or whatever, that's really valuable. If we let that anger out, then even more trouble happens. It doesn't fix the problem. It creates a worse problem. So yeah, this to me is an example of how this chariot wheel is slowly made more true. It's made more straight. As we gradually not just develop our mindfulness, but we also learn to apply it during those challenging times when we maybe don't agree with other people or we get into a bit of conflict or misunderstanding. Really, that's the real test of your mindfulness. How are you going to use your mindfulness under pressure? That's the big test. Tests our character. And slowly but surely, we can improve that character. We can improve that restraint. Maybe we can't stop those emotions from kind of getting triggered, but what we can do is develop more restraint. There's this popular term these days, to be triggered, to be triggered. Like if somebody even mentions something that gets me upset, it's kind of a popular thing these days to be like, oh, that triggered me, you know. And it's almost like people aren't even allowed to trigger us. It's evil. It's evil if anybody triggers me. There's sort of this view, at least in the West. One of the things I love about Malaysia, the people don't seem to do it here. Thank you. But over in the West, people are very sensitive. A lot of people anyway, not everyone. There's a lot of people who just can't stand it if anyone triggers them. But Buddhism would teach, oh, there's always going to be people who trigger you. You're never going to stop every human being in this world from offending you somehow. It's impossible to get the world to obey your wishes everywhere you go. If we could do that, we'd be like God. If I was God, I'd just go everywhere and be like, okay, I always get my way. I always get my way. I'm God. But Buddhism can teach us, well, people might trigger us, but can we keep cool? Can we contain that unpleasantness with mindfulness, with restraint, with character. And maybe then we can respond. It might take time, but we can respond more skillfully, calmly. Might be actually productive instead of just like dumping gasoline on a big fire and it gets even worse. Okay. All right, well, I'll just conclude there.